الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the very important principles of our deen is that we always keep things in perspective. And honestly, perspective is something that is easy to understand but is very hard to achieve. As an example, we are a speck of dust compared to the entire universe. We are a speck of dust compared to the entire universe. And when I say we, I'm not speaking about me or you. I'm speaking about the entire earth. Everything on the earth, all of humanity, all of this is just a speck of dust in the ocean of the entire universe. Or maybe I should say a drop of water, not even a drop, honestly, not even a drop of water in the ocean of the entire universe. At the same time, despite the fact that we're not even a speck of dust, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants each of us the ability to be able to engage with Him at any time throughout our existence. So this is a very, very big deal, but it actually requires a tremendous understanding of perspective. Because if we're this tiny speck of dust, and that's all of humanity, yet we're able to engage with the creator of the entire universe, only if we have perspective are we able to see that differential. I mean, look at this differential that there is a, you know, there is just this speck of dust which is called creation, and it's able to engage with the creator of everything. It's only when we understand that differential that a person will be, or the delta, let's say that, if only when a person is able to understand that delta, that we begin to realize what type of blessings we find ourselves in. Now, in order to make this clear, it's unfortunate, but that's the reality of our time and place, we have to give a very simple example. If the president of the United States gave you a call and said, "Would you please do me a favor? You're in Chicago. Can you deliver something to this location?" Any one of us would be absolutely elated and ecstatic that we received that call. We would be shocked that the President of the United States called me, who am I, little old me, and actually asked me to do something. Not only would we be shocked, we would tell everyone that we know. We would tell everybody in the house. We would tell everybody in the community. We would plaster this across social media. We would be completely overtaken by the fact that the president called me. Now, why would that even occur? Why would we react that way? The reason is because we see that there's a delta between us and the president. We say, okay, the president, the office of the president is way up here, and we're just some common person down here. So we see this delta, this difference between these two positions. And it's so wide, the gap is so wide here, that it is something noteworthy that this person way up here has called this person way down here. Now, that would just be a single call to do a single thing. But honestly, we would tell our grandchildren one day. We would literally wait decades and continue to talk about the story until we had grandchildren, and we would tell them, you know, one day I was sitting at home, my phone rang, I picked it up, it was the President of the United States. And they would be in shock because they, again, would also understand that differential or that delta. Now, let's actually zoom that out for a second and look at it in perspective. Why is there a differential? I'm created, they're created. I eat, they eat. I sleep, they sleep. I was born, I will expire one day. They were born, they will expire one day. What differential is there? There's a tiny there's a tiny delta between me and the president. There's just a tiny delta. There's not much. But look at it from the real perspective. The real perspective is that we, as all of creation, are a speck of dust, and we have the opportunity to engage with the creator of the whole universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at the delta between us and Allah. There is not one characteristic that is similar between us and our creator. Our creator is neither born, nor does he beget. Our creator does not eat. Our creator has no need for sleep, not even slumber. Our creator is from the beginning to the end, however he defines that. There is not one characteristic that anyone can name me that actually is a commonality between us and the creator. Yet with that much difference, not only do we get the opportunity to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once in our life, no, we get the opportunity to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any single moment of every day. Any person in this room, at any moment in their existence, can simply decide or come to the reality that they need to turn back to their Lord, to their Creator, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is continuously and regularly available for them. There is no time limit. There is no circumstance except that Allah is available for the one that turns to Him. Now, people are getting excited. I mean, in the example we gave at the beginning, people would be excited if the president, who in this high office calls on a common person in this relatively low office, even once in their life and asks them to do something. And look at the mercy of Allah. He not only gives us the opportunity to be able to continuously in any moment reconnect with Him, but beyond that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also directly addresses us, assigns us various tasks, tells us what to avoid, and guides us through the messengers, and sends His word upon us as a source of guidance and enlightenment. I mean, it's completely mind-blowing, if you just think about it for a second, that this tiny speck called creation would even be able to fathom the opportunity to engage with the creator of the entire universe. Yet, subhanAllah, not only are we available, not only is the opportunity to turn to Him at any moment available to us, but He actually addresses us. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. I mean, how many times, even a little child who's learning how to read the Quran, they quickly pick up on this phrase because they repeatedly hear it as they go through the Quran. O you who believe. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the believers. Ya ayyuhan nas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing all of mankind, all of humanity. Over and over again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates an opportunity for us to be able to engage with Him by fulfilling some very, very basic, simple, relatively minimal commands. And That is a huge blessing upon us, which we've completely lost perspective of. We've completely lost perspective of. How can it be that if the president would call us up, everybody would understand that there would be a feeling within them to tell the world, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates opportunity after opportunity for us, we don't even have a drive to remind ourselves of the greatness, let alone tell others. At any moment, in any day, in any circumstance, a person can turn back to Allah. Now, subhanAllah, despite this vast opportunity for mercy and this vast opportunity for forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also provides many other unique special opportunities that just highlight His abundant mercy and forgiveness. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, like I said, at any moment of any day, at any time, in any circumstance, a person can turn back to Allah. That's established. But even within a day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates additional special opportunities that allow a person to further engage Him. For example, Fajr prayer, Dhuhr prayer, Asr prayer, Maghrib prayer, Isha prayer. Each of these are additional opportunities for us to be able to engage with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like an opportunity upon an opportunity. SubhanAllah. And these opportunities are such that they don't come once in a lifetime. Look, I'm telling you, honestly, if the circumstance was that this is Allah, this is His greatness and grandeur, here is His book, here are the rewards that He offers, and everybody's going to get one shot. Everyone's going to get one shot on goal. One opportunity to be able to engage with Allah in Fajr prayer. Honestly, if we had to wait our whole life for one Fajr prayer, it would be worth it. One Fajr prayer. But look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't create one Fajr prayer as an opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides Fajr prayer every single day. Dhuhr prayer every single day. Asr prayer every single day. Etc., etc. Time after time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates another opportunity for us to be able to engage Him. I mean, we have to see things in perspective. This is the creator of the universe. The one who runs the whole show. The one who created everything that amazes anyone. We barely scratch at the surface of our knowledge. The one who causes the sun to rise and causes the sun to set. SubhanAllah, we have the ability one-on-one to connect with this Lord. And then we have all these special opportunities in a day. And SubhanAllah, if that wasn't enough, then I'll tell you that it goes beyond that such that there's even opportunities in a week. Every single week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with the opportunity to engage Him in the Jum'ah prayer. Now, we lose perspective. We just come and go, and it becomes casual and second nature, not because the opportunity isn't amazing, not because it isn't completely mind-blowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would assign us this beautiful opportunity to be able to engage Him in this very special way, but we lose sense of reality. We lose our perspective. We don't see things for what they are. We're more excited by the opportunity to be able to engage the president, or if you're in sports, Michael Jordan, or if you're in business, Warren Buffett, or if you're in computers, Bill Gates, whatever it might be. Everybody finds their engagement that seems to, you know, create a spark of interest in them. But the reality is that Jum'ah prayer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates as an opportunity for us, that is one of the most amazing experiences that we could ever undergo. And again, we lose sense of the perspective because of the frequency of Allah's mercy. See, this is the funny thing. Allah is so merciful. He's so merciful, provides so many opportunities that we lose sense of the value because it's so abundant. You know, just like if somebody has a lot of money, they lose sense of what a dollar actually means. We've been given so many blessings, so many opportunities, such a great spectrum of ways by which we can engage Allah that we lose perspective of even the value of one Jumu'ah prayer. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates that opportunity over and over and over again. Now, we talked about the opportunities in a day. We talked about the opportunities in a week. SubhanAllah, it goes even beyond that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides opportunities throughout the year. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us recently with the opportunity of Ramadan. What an amazing opportunity Ramadan is. SubhanAllah, it takes the dead and brings them back to life. Literally, Ramadan takes those who are spiritually dead, who were basically written to be buried spiritually, and brings them back to life. If Allah gave us the opportunity of one fast with one night of Ramadan in our entire existence, it would be so magnificent and amazing that we would be speaking about it until the end of time. But no, Allah provides multiple days of Ramadan, such that it becomes a whole month of fasting with a whole month of associated night worship. And then, beyond that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates this circular opportunity where Ramadan comes over and over and over again. And then look at the power inherent within Ramadan. I mean, everybody in this room knows that the last 10 nights of Ramadan have a very, very special status and a very unique opportunity for the believer. So the last 10 nights of Ramadan, everyone appreciates. So that's one example of an opportunity, Ramadan, and then within Ramadan, those last 10 nights. Now, subhanAllah, again, just another example of Allah's magnificent opportunities that He provides is the upcoming month of Dhul Hijjah. So everyone knows that there's an Islamic calendar, and the Islamic calendar has 12 months. And the last month is Dhul Hijjah. And Dhul Hijjah is called Dhul Hijjah because it possesses the Hajj. So the very, very special aspect of this last month of the Islamic calendar is that there's this amazing opportunity, which is called Hajj. And I've been speaking about Hajj now for weeks at this gathering, so most of you are obviously familiar with it. Everyone knows Hajj, because Hajj is one of the five pillars of our deen. But subhanAllah, the Hajj is such an amazing blessing that the blessings of Hajj not only are restricted to the people performing the Hajj and the location of the Hajj, but the blessings of the Hajj actually overflow such that they encompass the entire universe. So that even the people who are not at Hajj also have the opportunity to be able to take advantage of Allah's mercy and His forgiveness during Hajj. For example, everybody knows that the last 10 nights of Ramadan are the most special nights in the calendar. In the same way, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are the most special days of the calendar. This Dhul Hijjah, this month that is about to come upon us, it begins just in a couple of days. The first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are the best days in the calendar. Okay, now look at the parallel, because there's a parallel here, and it'll help you to just understand that and put this into perspective. What are the 10 best nights? The 10 nights of Ramadan. What are the 10 best days? The first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So that's parallel number one. Parallel number two. Of the 10 best nights of Ramadan, which are the best nights overall, there is one special night that we all search for, which is called Laylatul Qadr. And one of the things that we try to do in the last 10 nights of Ramadan is to stay up, increase our ibadah, increase our worship, ideally perform i'tikaf in search of that very special night. So in the same way, like the 10 nights of Ramadan have a special night within them, Laylatul Qadr, the 10 special days of Dhul Hijjah also have a special day with them, within them, which is the day of Arafah. So everybody knows the day of Arafah is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, and this is the day when traditionally the Hajis would be at Hajj, but it's also a day of great forgiveness and a day of great blessing. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ was known to regularly fast many of the days of Dhul-Hijjah, many of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, but definitely with particular emphasis on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the individual who fasts on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, they have their sins forgiven for the prior year, and they have their sins forgiven for the upcoming year. Now, again, put that into perspective for a minute. How many acts of ibadah can you do that will cause the prior sins to be forgiven? Those are numerous. You pray, your sins are forgiven from the prior prayer. You pray Jumu'ah, the sins from that Jumu'ah to the one before it are forgiven. You do Umrah, the sins between that Umrah and the one before it are forgiven. But how many acts of ibadah are there where the future sins are forgiven before they even occur? You're not going to find examples of that. This is such a special day, this 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, which of course is within the first 10 days. This 9th of Dhul-Hijjah is so special that fasting on it causes forgiveness for the prior year's worth of sins and the future year's worth of sins. So subhanAllah, very, very powerful act of ibadah. Now in these 10 days, there's a few actions that are encouraged. In these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, there's a few actions that are encouraged. Number one, and I'm just going to touch on them briefly because we're going to discuss them in much more detail tomorrow, and I'll talk about that in a moment. Number one is dhikr. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the most beloved days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And then the Prophet ﷺ continued in that particular narration and said, so increase your tahleel, your tahmeed, and your tasbih. Meaning, increase la ilaha illallah, increase the dhikr of la ilaha illallah, increase the dhikr of alhamdulillah, and increase the dhikr of subhanallah. So these three types of adhkar are something that we should engage our tongue with. So this is the first recommended act in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So recommended act number one is to increase our dhikr. Recommended act number two is to prepare for an animal sacrifice. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the best deed, the Prophet ﷺ said, roughly, I'm translating, that the best days are the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, and that the best deed in that time is the animal sacrifice. So every one of us should, if we can afford it, make an intention to arrange for an animal sacrifice. There's many other details, I'm not going to go into them right now, but just as a general reminder, all of us should think about creating that opportunity for ourselves. There's a huge reward associated with the animal sacrifice. Now, you can arrange that out of the country, you can arrange that to be done locally, but whatever it is, you should begin to think about it now. You should prepare for it by setting it up, and you should know one more thing, and I just bring this up today because then tomorrow it'll be too late, and that is that the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned that anyone who plans to do an animal sacrifice, whether that's you do it with your hand or you're having somebody else do it for you in another country, they should not clip their nails and they should not cut their hair anywhere on their body until after the animal is sacrificed. From the beginning of Dhul-Hijjah until after the animal is sacrificed. So what that means is that anybody in this room who has an intention to arrange for an animal sacrifice, you should clip your nails tomorrow morning. The scholars also recommend clipping your nails and trimming any hair before the month of Dhul-Hijjah starts so that it's easy to fulfill this command throughout the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So one recommendation today for anyone who intends to sacrifice is to tomorrow take the time to groom yourselves in whatever way you feel appropriate such that you don't feel the need to do so after the days of Dhul-Hijjah begin, and you can maintain that all the way until after Eid. So this is the second recommendation. Recommendation number one, dhikr. Recommendation number two, animal sacrifice. Recommendation number three, or we can say, you know, encouraged action number three. So encouraged action number three is fasting. I've already kind of touched on that. I'll just briefly mention it again. The Prophet, the wives of the Prophet ﷺ mention that the Prophet ﷺ used to fast most of the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, with the exception of the 10th. The 10th is Eid, and it's prohibited for someone to fast on Eid. So the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah are a very important opportunity for those who would like to fast them. Most important amongst those is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. The 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, the Prophet ﷺ specifically mentioned that a person who fasts, they'll have the prior year's worth of sins and a future year's worth of sins absolved. So this is something that we should all seek to perform, particularly on the 9th, which basically means we should get ourselves ready psychologically to at least fast that one day, if not more. There's a few other actions that are recommended, but these are the three key primary actions that all of us should begin to plan for. Now, of course, it requires some planning. You do have to think a little bit about how you're going to engage yourselves during these days. But I'll give you one umbrella recommendation. Before you can even think about doing any of these three things, there's one umbrella recommendation that all of us should keep in mind. And that is that in order to be able to do these things, one of the very important things that's necessary, one of the things that's a precursor, is that we clear the space in our lives for them. So the first step to approaching Dhul-Hijjah, listen to this very carefully, the first step to approaching Dhul-Hijjah is to eliminate the things that shouldn't be there. Because water and oil don't mix. So we have to eliminate the things that shouldn't be in our lives. So one recommendation I would give to everybody is the same way we recommend to one another when the month of Ramadan begins, disconnect from the world, create a little space between yourselves, don't worry about your phones and social media and email and all these things. In the same way, I would give you this recommendation that the first step of Dhul-Hijjah involves eliminating the things that shouldn't be in Dhul-Hijjah. Because you cannot have space to do the things that should be present until you eliminate the things that should be not should be absent, or get rid of the things that should be absent. So this is the very first step. In fact, I can tell you that this is not my recommendation. This is the recommendation of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, famous companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the great scholars of our deen, one of the great, great companions of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam when it comes to knowledge. And we know, it's been narrated, that when the month of Dhul-Hijjah would begin, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu would separate himself from everyone, and people would not see him until the day of Eid. So you can almost think about it. Honestly, when I read this, I myself started thinking it's almost like a little mini i'tikaf. I'm not saying you should technically do i'tikaf. I'tikaf is constrained to the sunnah i'tikaf is constrained to the days of Ramadan. But what I am trying to say is that there was a understanding of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu that these are very, very special days, and the first step in taking advantage of these days is to clear out the distractions. So he wouldn't meet with people. He wouldn't engage in the things that he would normally do. Of course, all the things that he would do are good. So, I mean, it's interesting. You know, we're not even in that boat. But what I'm trying to say is that he himself, through his example, showed us that one of the very, very early steps to achieving the very special mercy and forgiveness that's present in these days is to think about how we're going to create the space to take advantage of the opportunity. So I would highly recommend that in these next 10 days, once they begin, which is not just, you know, just a day or two away, once they begin, think about disconnecting for the next few days. I can guarantee you whatever shows up, you know, on your email, messages, this, that, the world will continue if you don't answer. It's not going to stop. One day you'll be dead and these messages will keep coming and it's not going to stop. Everyone will keep talking whether you're there or not. Don't think that the news will stop coming out because I'm not here anymore, or people are going to stop texting and chatting because I'm not here anymore. No, they'll find another person to play the game with. So we should take very, very important, we should take heed of this example of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and we should make the effort to appreciate that what matters in these 10 days is me, I need to focus on myself. I need to take advantage of this opportunity. Now, there are many, many interesting details related to these 10 days. And honestly, you know, I'm just really scraping the surface. But subhanAllah, tomorrow we have a program that's just dedicated to, number one, why these 10 days are so important, which ayat of the Quran highlight this, which hadith of the Prophet ﷺ highlight this, and number two, how to take advantage of this based on various hadith and examples from our pious predecessors. So tomorrow, from Maghrib to Isha, Sheikh Saad Qadri, most of you know him, he will be speaking here on this topic, from Maghrib to Isha. So I think that as a first step in trying to achieve our goal of taking advantage of this opportunity, we should at least present ourselves to learn what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about these days in the Quran. They're not explicit, it's implicit, but the scholars, essentially the majority of the scholars have said that certain verses of the Quran are highlighting the importance of these days. So that's important. That's one feature. And then what did the Prophet ﷺ say about the value of these days? How did he encourage the companions to behave in these days? And how did the pious predecessors exemplify that after the passing of the Prophet ﷺ in order to model these days for the rest of the community? So there's a lot of interesting things that we can learn about these days. There's a lot of encouragement that we can take. Again, I can't completely touch on this subject in this very short time that we have together. So we have a dedicated hour and 10 minutes, however long that is tomorrow, just towards this topic. So inshallah, again, that's going to begin at Maghrib. It's going to go till Isha. I really recommend that all of you be present, that you bring your families, and that you bring someone who normally wouldn't be here. Because every one of you have access to people that, for example, I don't have access to. And let's just say that you were to bring 2-3 people with you, and one of them were to enact something that they learned. If they enact anything that they learned, they will receive a reward, and you will also receive a reward. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that the one who guides to goodness receives the reward as the one who does that goodness. أَدَّالَ لَلْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِهِ. The one who guides to goodness is just like the one who does that goodness. Meaning, if I do X and I receive a reward, but I tell somebody to do X and they do it and they get a reward, I also get the same reward. So anyway, the summary is that these opportunities, we lose perspective sometimes, but they far supersede any other opportunity that exists in our life. Honestly, the president can call you up 5 minutes from now and it would be nothing compared to the opportunity to be able to engage with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these very, very special upcoming days. Part of the process of taking advantage of these days is to show that we value these days, to care about learning about these days, to understand how we can maximize on these days. So that's the purpose of tomorrow's gathering. I briefly touched on it. You know, inshallah, this is just a prelude to what's going to come tomorrow. So I encourage you to be there. I encourage you to bring your family and friends as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the sense to be able to understand what amazing opportunities He provides us. May He make us amongst those who appreciate just how vast and how deep each one of those opportunities are. May He make us amongst those who never lose sight of His infinite and boundless and boundaryless mercies. And may He make us amongst those who are able to take advantage of these upcoming 10 days. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ